Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. We step into an important week, but before we get to that, first I would like to welcome some visitors that we have to Hope College right now that are checking us out. Yeah. We want you to know that wherever you're coming from, we're grateful that you're here. And we know that you're here checking out, trying to discern with the Lord and with your families where to invest your time in college and the resources. And we want you to know we're so grateful that you are looking at us. You know this, but it's worth saying that you don't just choose a brand. You don't just choose a symbol that you put on the back of your car. You choose a people. And we want you to know we want to be a people for you that would love you. So thanks for being here. Let's welcome them once again. So grateful that you're here. We step into today, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, celebrating a legacy that inaugurates for our country some deep reflections. Not just today, but all week long, we're going to be thinking about, discerning, what does it mean to live into this legacy that is still yet fully complete. As we do that, we're going to be pivoting from a single verse from Jesus, from Matthew 4:17, that simply says this. Oh, that's the Lord calling right there, saying, hey, Trigger, get this right. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Let's say that together. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. This is the single verse that will lead us into this week. But what does that mean? And what does that look like for me, for you, for us as a community at Hope? I think it looks a lot of different ways, and there are a lot of reminders. I want to take you with me right now to my study to show you one of the ways I remember. This is my desk. Oh, where's my thing? Oh, I got it backwards. I was pointing myself. This is where I work on sermons, where I think. I look over on 10th Street. I watch all of you come in and out of Lubbers. You don't know this, but I'm watching you all the time. But right by where my books and my Bible and my sketch pad, I have this picture that I've had there for about 10 years. It's a picture of Carl Barth and Dr. King together walking outside of a sanctuary. I love this picture because Carl Barth is my theologian, one of them anyways. Carl Barth was a Christocentric center. The kingdom of God has a large circumference, but every circumference has a center. And Carl Barth reminds me that at the center, we've got to keep Jesus. In a time where theology was going off the rails, where human experience became the primary source of revelation, he called the church back to the fundamental conviction that Jesus is the revelation, not only to the church, but to the whole world. I don't agree with Carl Barth on everything, but what I love about him is his passion. He would take Christ and he'd look at it from all the different angles, like a diamond in the sun. But here's the worry that I have with someone like me. I can get so intoxicated with the glory of Jesus that I forget to think about the world Jesus loves. And particularly in white culture and predominantly white institutions, it's easy for me to stay in my study, to think about the right words for a sermon, but never leave that study and go into the world. Carl Barth reminds me that the kingdom of God is near, but remember the first part of that verse that's leading us into this week. Repent. Repentance is a word that Jesus calls to remind us that things are not the way they're supposed to be, that there are habits and powers and principalities that can take us farther away from that kingdom that is near, and that we got to turn around and walk back towards Jesus. Dr. King is a reminder for us that things aren't the way they're supposed to be, but there is a way out of an identity in Jesus that calls us back to the center. Dr. King reminds us of a people that are invited by Jesus to engage the world. And what does that look like? It looks like being a people who care about justice. And justice is God's righteousness embodied, not only as an individual, but as a community. What does that look like for us here at Hope College? I've invited my friend, Dr. Sonia Trent Brown, who is the John and Jean Jacobson Associate Professor of Psychology and works in the President's office, helping us to think about what does that single verse, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, take root here at Hope College. Would you please welcome Dr. Sonia Trent Brown. Sonia, first of all, we think you're awesome. And thanks for doing this today.
Oh, thank you.
In the midst of like a busy with your work as a professor, administrator, as a wife, as a mother, as a friend, you're awesome. We just want to say that. But as we have this conversation today, as a Christian, as a daughter of Christ, what has Dr. King meant for you?
Well, there are a couple of things, and I think that the Reverend Dr. King spoke about the power of God and the power of love as being central for Christians, and those are things that really stuck with me. In a sermon of Dr. King's entitled, Our God is Able, he says that at the center of the Christian faith is the conviction that there is a God of power in the universe who is able to do exceedingly abundant things in nature and history. And then in another sermon called Levels of Love, and he talks about 1 Corinthians 13, he says, if there's any one word that describes the ethic of Jesus Christ, then it is the word love. And he talks about 1 Corinthians 13 as being a magnificent litany of love, and I love that. But ending with the faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. He says that there can be no doubt about the fact that for the Christian, the one word that characterizes the height of the Christian life is love. And so for me, that conviction of the God of power being at the center of the Christian faith and that word love characterizing the height of Christian life, those have been very meaningful, along with the fact that the Reverend Dr. King embodied a model of engagement that honored Christ. Right? He sat and he stood and he walked. It was through love and nonviolence. Just Jesus sat and stood and walked amongst his people.
Yeah. The ethic of love, that's got to lead us towards the center. Mm-hmm. But on a day like today, we are reflecting not only what it means to be a daughter of Christ, a son of Christ, but for you particularly, what has it meant for you to be an African American woman? And what has Dr. King, Reverend King, meant for you as an African-American woman?
Well, he has been a continual source of inspiration for me, a source of joy, a reminder that the work is not yet done, a reminder that we together can do wonderful things because our God is powerful. And I love to think of his notion of the beloved community. And he talks about it as a society that's based on justice, equal opportunity, and love of one's fellow human beings. And one of the things that I love about that is that though it hasn't happened yet, right, that there's still work to do, he really saw this as something that was realistic and achievable. A goal that if we have a critical mass of us who are committed to this kind of philosophy and principles of nonviolent engagement, that together in that cooperative spirit, we can do all things, right? That there are, that love and trust will triumph over fear and hatred. And another piece of that I think is really key is I think a lot of times we think that this means that it's going to be a world without conflict. But that is not what he spoke of with respect to the beloved community. He said that conflict was an inevitable part of human experience. And so that really inspires me and guides me daily. I think that we spend so much of our time and energy in avoiding conflict, right? And thinking that all we have to do is just be nice and everything will be okay. And then don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking nice. I like nice. Nice is good.
What do you mean, like West Michigan nice? Is that what we're talking about?
Well,
like,
you know, some of our niceness gets palpable.
You think we got conflict avoidance? Is that what? Come on.
I don't know, maybe just a tad. Right, and that's the thing, right? I think that we can spend so much time seeking niceness as a goal, yeah. that it keeps us on a level that's superficial, and that we don't get a chance to deeply and authentically engage one another. And that's something that I think actually impedes yeah. our progress together. It impedes our growth together. It impedes us from moving closer and closer toward achieving that notion of beloved community.
So we don't want to stay superficial.
Right.
And the ethic of love leads to conflict. But conflict doesn't have to be acrimonious. It can be an opportunity for deeper understanding. Last night at the gathering, we talked about the importance of listening.
Yes.
Not just hearing.
Yes.
But listening, but deeply understanding. So I'd love to listen to you a little, talk about what it has been like for you as an African-American woman, as a daughter of Christ, in a predominantly white institution.
That is a...
Yeah, let's not stay on the surface. We want to listen.
Well,
listen?
I will accept the invitation. And, you know, when I'm being honest, being an African-American woman in this kind of environment is lots of things. It's scary at times. It's isolating at times. It's costly. In terms of time and energy, sometimes it can just be exhausting, you know.
What's exhausting?
You know, sometimes I have said, I've said it this way, you know, Superman gets to be Clark Kent sometimes. Mm. You know, and when he's being Clark Kent, he can hide in the background, he can go about whatever his, you know, day-to-day life activities are. You know, and he gets to don the cape and the boots, you know, boots, hey. No, he gets to don the cape and the boots, you know, from time to time. And I think that in environments like this, I feel oftentimes like I don't get my Clark Kent time, you know, that I'm going to be always on display. And kind of the mantle of wearing that,
right.
I think, can be exhausting.
Out of that exhaustion and being in a place where... You don't get to retreat. You don't get to hide, kind of the way I can in my study sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that also means that you probably have eyes to see some things about our community that we can kind of tread on the surface. And I'm wondering if you could speak to what are things you see at Hope that we need to repent and pray into for healing, that we might be a beloved community. Is there any, you know, I mean, there can be many things, but from your experience, from what you see, what would you encourage us towards?
I think that there are a couple of things. One is that, you know, it gets back to seeing and listening to each other. I think there are times that we don't really see one another. We kind of see past one another. You know, and I have had experiences as an African-American woman and even on campus, at other places where I felt that, you know, that I was literally invisible, that there were folks who just didn't see me. And then in terms of listening to one another, I think that we, you know, we hear through our own filters. And I think maybe we need sometimes to do some filter adjustment.
What might that look like?
Well, you know, I guess if you remember, you think about an equalizer board or a soundboard, and you're trying to
get the levels just right.
The
youngins, they don't have, that's all done by a computer for them now. They don't know what it's like just to have the levels perfect in your car.
Right. Yeah. That's right. So, you know, you can think about, do I want concert hall sound? Do I want more kind of intimate situation sound? And sometimes I think maybe we need to adjust our filter so that we can listen through someone else's filter and see if that changes what we hear.
So as we try to be a place where we keep Christ at the center, and Christ is our filter, this ethic of love that leads us to the beloved community, help us, what are a few ideas that we could live into more deeply as Christ with our filter, as a way that honors Dr. King and the Christian vision he invited us to explore?
I think we should, one, not let our fear immobilize us, not let our niceness impede our progress and growth together. I think that the combination of those two leads us to be silent when there are times we should lean in and speak. So I think that those are some of the things that we can pray into, and that takes courage. You know, the fear is very real. Right. You know, leaning into fear is hard, but that's where that courage comes from. And we have a God who is too powerful for us to be limited by that kind of fear.
Sonya, thank you for your wisdom, for your grace, for your courage. We see you. We love you. Would you give her some love, please, today? Yay! Would you please stand with me real quick? You don't know this about Sonya. I'm totally putting her on the spot right now, but she can sing. Do you know this? Can you lead us just in the chorus of Amazing Grace as we kind of have benediction? Come on. You got this. Yeah. Who wants this? Yeah. All right. Come on.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Love.